Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We're not looking to deal, and we're not looking to not deal.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me at Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons reportedly talked with the Timberwolves about a trade involving Reggie Jackson for Ricky Rubio. Big deal? Maybe. Apparently not. But at the time the reporting came out, and this was done by Chris Haynes and Mark Stein of ESPN, two reliable reporters, that the Pistons and Timberwolves talked about this deal. Now, if you read what Haynes and Stein actually wrote, they just said these teams talked about this and nothing was imminent. There's sort of an implied idea that there's more going on from a credible reporter. I think there's a duty from a credible reporter to have that implication in the reporting, because teams have discussions all the time. The Pistons talking about a trade with the Timberwolves that neither side is close to or serious about is not really significant. It's not really news. But this made it out to the public. This became a story. And so there is this implication that there's something to it. Unless you ask Stan Van Gundy. Van Gundy said he told Reggie Jackson, because Reggie Jackson's agent had called, concerned about these rumors. Van Gundy said he told Reggie Jackson, we are not trading you for Ricky Rubio. And the fact that Van Gundy would say that, I think makes it true. I think if there were any chance they would do it, he wouldn't tell Reggie Jackson, we're not trading you for Ricky Rubio. Now, that's not to say that Stan Van Gundy told Reggie Jackson, we're not trading you. He just said, we're not trading you for Ricky Rubio. So I do believe that. I don't think Van Gundy would, one, tell Jackson that if it weren't true, and two, put that out there, especially to the public, and say, I told Jackson this. But Van Gundy really explained what went on and why this rumor came to be and how he views it.
Look, Jeff Bauer spends basically all day, every day on the phone. He's had discussions probably about every single guy on our team, certainly all the key guys, because that's who people talk about. That's what general managers do. I don't know specifically if Jeff's talked to Minnesota about Ricky Rubio and Reggie Jackson, but he certainly talked to other teams about Reggie Jackson. That's what GMs do. So if we're going to talk discussions, every guy in this league has been discussed by every other team in this league. So I would probably say, yeah, there have been a lot of discussions. We don't have any deal right now that we're even close to considering, but Jeff Bauer's job is to have discussions every day, and he does.
That is the second time on that day, on Saturday, that Van Gundy went through this and explained this. The first time, you can find it online, plenty of places. The Free Press had a good video, full video of it up. He was a little more profane. And he also said something that I really liked, which was, there's no untradeable players. Obviously, some players command higher value than others, but there's nobody who's 100% truly untradeable, because there's always something. The example he gave was, what if the Warriors called up the Cavs and said, we'll trade you Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry for LeBron? Cleveland wouldn't think about that. And that's where I think there might be a limit to what he's saying, because teams should never treat players as untradeable. The Cavs should consider that. But I also think the Cavs, just because of what LeBron means to that area, what he means to the franchise, would just not trade him. The Warriors could throw in, you know, 5 first-round picks, add in Draymond Green. You know, they could do it however, but I still think Cleveland would say LeBron is untradeable. So I think sometimes it's true. But the overarching point is correct. Most players who are talked about as quote-unquote untradeable are tradable. I think the distinction that needs to be made is sometimes when you hear, oh, so-and-so's off the market, like Paul Millsap. The Hawks reportedly put out word that Paul Millsap is off the market. I think what that means a lot of times is the Hawks tried to trade Paul Millsap. They talked to other teams. They engaged other teams in trade discussions. They figured out what Paul Millsap's value is and decided, hey, we're not even close. There is no way we're getting what we think he's worth. We'd rather have Paul Millsap. And so, yeah, he's effectively off the market because the market had already been tested, and that was the conclusion. It's not that they're intent on keeping Paul Millsap no matter what. If the Cavs call and offer LeBron for Paul Millsap, 100%, the Hawks are going to do that. They are not so loyal to Paul Millsap that they wouldn't trade him. And Van Gundy was very clear that that's true about every Piston. Andre Drummond is the franchise player. Everybody knows that. But he's not untradeable. And so I really respected Van Gundy for being real about that and doing it in an appropriate way, because he talks to the players about it. George Karl caused a stink when he said something similar because his communication with DeMarcus Cousins, this is when Karl was coaching the Kings, because his communication with DeMarcus Cousins was so poor. Cousins read that as a threat to him and that Karl was trying to trade him, which may or may not have been true. The basic point, though, that Karl made was spot on. And I don't think Cousins was necessarily wrong for feeling threatened and disrespected by how it came out. Van Gundy does it a different way. He's clear with his players. He talks to them about this. They understand that they're all tradable. But I also think he makes them feel valued as where they stand in the organization. And he keeps it real. Like, he told everybody, you know, I'm sure he's telling the players the exact same thing he told the public the other day, that anybody could be traded. And so he keeps it real. You want an example of not keeping it real, though? Here's Reggie Jackson when asked about these trade rumors. This is via Fox Sports Detroit after the Pistons game on Saturday.
Reggie, there have been rumors about you being traded to Minnesota. Do you listen to that, and how does that affect you? Hear stuff like that?
Thanks for giving me the news. I don't really listen to y'all, so most of the time I just go home, chill, kick it, watch TV, play games, kick with my brother, so I don't really follow all of that. I'm just happy to wake up and be able to play basketball.
Stan said he texted you to let you know. Did you appreciate that you heard from him directly that they weren't trading you for Ricky Rubio?
Yeah, I had no idea, so he traded me. I told him it was news to me, but yeah, I appreciate the text. Definitely just let me know. I'm his guy, but like I said, I don't really pay attention much to it. I see y'all enough here. I see enough in the city, so I'm going to go ahead and normally tune out. So after this, I'm going to go home and relax.
Hey, Reggie, you've obviously in Oklahoma City, you were always subject to trade rumors. Is there a particular way when you do hear about trade rumors that you, any coping mechanism or anything, you just get that stuff out of your mind? Or just, it's a basketball court of sanctuary, I guess, is when that stuff's going on.
I wouldn't know. I didn't hear about any trade rumors, so.
In Oklahoma City, you did?
How phony. I mean, we already know that Reggie Jackson knew about this trade rumor because Van Gundy told everybody that he texted Jackson to assure him that the Pistons weren't trading him for Ricky Rubio. So to pretend like this reporter broke this news to him, I mean, that's phony. So that just puts everything else into question. And then the idea, it's really hard to believe that Jackson's agent would contact Van Gundy about this, concerned about this, wanting to know more, without also talking to Jackson about it, that Jackson had no communication with his agent about this either. Players hear trade rumors. Like, they deal with them in different ways. And, you know, I think Jackson probably tries to ignore them, push them out of his mind. But to pretend he's so good at this that they never even come in front of him, that all his time in Oklahoma City playing behind Russell Westbrook, wanting out at a certain point so he could be a starting point guard, like he never paid attention to trade rumors, come on. It's not believable. It's just sort of annoying that he'd put on this facade. He's not the only player to do it, but I just find it more annoying than anything. Shifting gears.
It gives us one more in the left-hand column.
The Pistons beat the Wizards on Saturday, a thrilling game. The Pistons were down 9-0, built up a 15-16-point lead, blew that, and then on the final possession, the Pistons took four shots, finally made one. Marcus Morris tipped in the ball at the buzzer over his brother. A real exciting possession. That final play, maybe a little bit of contact on the rebound. Marcus Morris fessed up.
Grab, I put my hand in his shoulder, and you know, I got him back because he blocked my shot probably the play before that or something like that. So, yeah, I knew that was him, and I just, you know, you can't make that call at the end of the game. He said it was over the back. That's what he said. He said it was over the back, and it really was. But, you know, how it goes.
All right, we're going to have to keep up a theme here, though. The theme is the Pistons, other Pistons, keep it real. Reggie Jackson, well, he's on a different wavelength. He was asked just a general question about the game. Nothing too specific, but like one of those how does it feel to get a win questions.
It was a tough win for us. You know, anytime you're playing 5-on-8, it's a very tough game. So we went out here and just found a way to battle, you know, undermanned each and every play, and just came out with a win.
Yeah, the Pistons didn't shoot as many free throws as the Wizards. The Wizards shot 33 to Detroit's 22. That was a little bit more of a disparity earlier in the game. I think maybe there was this impression among the Pistons that the referees were out to get them, that the five Pistons on the court would have to play against the five Wizards plus the three referees. But I think that evened out by the end, especially because on the deciding play, Marcus Morris admitted he got away with a foul. Strangely, in the last two-minute report, the league didn't even review that play. It's one of my problems with the last two-minute reports is how the arbitrary decision is to decide which plays get reviewed and which don't. Like, they're all decided whether this was a correct call, incorrect call, correct no call, incorrect no call, but not everything. Sometimes there's a certain aspect of a play that's just not reviewed, and there was no determination of a correct no call or an incorrect no call on that play. But we know what happened. You can see it, and Marcus Morris admitted it. I think it was a smart play. I do think the NBA should crack down and call the games at the end the same way they call them early. I hate that officials let players get away with more, as if a player hacking someone else but it not being a foul is somehow letting the players decide it. But the conditions exist that exist. Marcus Morris knows it. He understands how to play in this league, and he knew they weren't going to call it there. And if he didn't get to that ball, if he didn't get to that tip in, the Pistons were going to lose. It was an all-or-nothing thing. He went for it. It paid off. And it was just a tremendously exciting win. A buzzer beater, a comeback, a blown lead, a tight finish. It had it all. And there was a lot of exuberance on the court afterward. The players were mobbing each other, waiting for the official review. It was thrilling. But Stan Van Gundy didn't quite see it that same way, as you heard from that quote before, how it's just one more win. And he expanded on that thinking a little bit.
You know, statement games, emotional wins. It's a win. It's one game. I've been at this too long. It's just that's all it is. It's one game. It's either one win or one loss. That's all it is, and it moves you on to the next game.
Stan Van Gundy is in his 19th year as a head or assistant coach in the NBA. None of his players have that level of experience. So while I think what he said is correct for him, it is not correct for the players. There are more emotions that go with it, higher highs, lower lows. And as we've talked about a number of times, I think this team is a little bit fragile. When things go south, they can really snowball. Where this team gets down on itself, if the ball movement isn't perfect, there's some griping. If the offense isn't clicking, there's not enough effort on defense. We've seen this from this team. So I do think these type of exciting wins are important, and that's two in a row that are really feel-good wins, and there are a couple different ways to get feel-good wins, and the Pistons have gotten both of them. They blew out the Hawks. Everybody played well, so everybody left feeling good about that game, and the win on a buzzer beater in a close game, that's also thrilling. These were not just standard wins, either a blowout or a very tight, exciting finish where you win it at the end. That leaves the team feeling good, and this is a team that just, I think, needs more than the average team needs to feel good about what they're doing, to be confident. But either way, whether they feel good or not, Stan Van Gundy's right. It is on to the next one. The Kings visit the Pistons tonight. It should be a game Detroit wins. The Pistons are definitely favorites for this game, especially because it looks like KCP will come back. The Pistons upgraded him today to probable. I don't think they would have done that if he wasn't going to play. But it's not certain. There is at least progress. He went through practice yesterday, is on the right track. The Pistons are going for their first four-game win streak of the season. For all the reasons I said about their confidence and all that, that's why it's a big deal. We'll learn more if everybody's healthy about this team and what they want to do. There are questions about the starting lineup. Do the Pistons put John Luehr back in? He played against the Wizards, came off the bench. After a game back to acclimate himself, is he going to go back in the starting lineup? Would that be for Marcus Morris or Tobias Harris? Assuming KCP is the starting shooting guard, Who's his backup? How deep does the rotation go? Stan Van Gundy likes to use 9 players. The Pistons have about 10 who probably could see minutes. The question is at the swing or at the wing position, do you want to play Stanley Johnson, Reggie Bullock, or both? I think the best move is probably both. I don't really have a strong opinion on the starting lineup. I'd sort of like to see it stay Morris and Harris, but that's also predicated on them playing better together with the other starters than they have. Not sure 100% that'll happen, but that would be my ideal choice, that they can find a way to recreate what they had last year. I have a little bit more opinion about the rotation on the back end. I'd like to see it 10-man, because I think Reggie Bullock's been playing well. He's gotten back to where he was before he got hurt. Not perfect, not where, you know, he's definitely a reliable player in the rotation, but where I think because he's so much more suited to play shooting guard than Stanley Johnson, he needs some minutes there. And then I think there are some front court minutes left over, and Stanley Johnson should get those at small forward. It's going to be a smaller role for both of them. It might be hard for them to get in a rhythm, but I think that's the ideal choice. There's often not much of a difference between playing shooting guard and small forward, but where there is, I just don't think it's to Stanley Johnson's benefit to play guard. It's tough for him to guard opposing guards. They're just a little bit quicker. His strength, his aggressiveness, I think is better suited to guarding front court players. I actually see him as more of a combo forward than a shooting guard slash small forward. So I think that's good for him. Not a ton of minutes to go around there, because Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris can both play small forward. John Luehr will get minutes at power forward and bump them to those minutes at small forward. So there might not be a ton of playing time, but that's where I'd be looking to go. 10-man. It won't mean as many minutes for Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson. I don't want to press Reggie Bullock into having to play in the front court. Don't want to press Stanley Johnson to having to play in the back court. I think that's the best option. We'll see what Sam Van Gundy does. This team's getting healthier. The schedule's getting easier. It's an exciting time for the Pistons to move up in the standings. We'll be covering all of it. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.